In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's something off about this story that Jesus tells. In fact, there's something off about most of the stories Jesus tells. This story begins with a sower who apparently doesn't know how to sow. Even we city folk know that one doesn't sow on path and rock and weed patch. If you went and bought some seeds from Home Depot, you wouldn't just come home, tear open the packet, and start tossing a bunch on your driveway, some on the decorative rocks and others on the weed patch you haven't got to yet. You'd be wasting your money and wasting your time. How much more so the farmer, the sower? That's a lot more seed and a lot more money. No sane sower would waste seed on path and rocks and weeds. And yet, that's exactly what the sower in Jesus' story does. Right from the very beginning, Jesus' story is a little off. What this strange sower is doing doesn't make sense. And that's fitting, because what God is doing in Christ doesn't make sense. And what Christ does with his word doesn't make much sense either. It's why the church can't simply be run like a business. The sower doesn't sow the way a businessman would sow. The kingdom of God doesn't work like the kingdoms of the world. It's why, with few exceptions, the next church leader who suggests a course of action based on statistics from the Barna Group ought to be prayerfully tased and sent back to the seminary. If statistics and calculations and worry are how one grows the church, then someone really ought to tell this sower in Jesus' story. For it's precisely without statistic and calculation and worry that he goes out and sows, freely, recklessly, scattering seed not only on good soil, but also on path and rock and weed. This sower mirrors the way that Jesus himself preaches, freely, recklessly preaching his gospel, preaching the forgiveness of sins to legalistic Pharisees and to Jews, to Gentiles, and even to lawless prostitutes. Some of his gospel, some of his mercy lands in good soil. Some of his gospel, some of that seed lands on hardened hearts. Some lands and grows only to be scorched in the sun. Some lands and grows only to be choked out by thorns. Why? Why does Jesus sow his word on people who refuse to understand it? Why does Jesus sow his word on people too shallow for it? Why does Jesus sow his word on people who prefer the deceitfulness of riches? Why? It seems so wasteful. Well, why does Jesus sow his word on you? Knowing that your heart can be as soft as cement. Knowing that you'll refuse to understand the parts of his word that aren't to your liking. Knowing that his word will at times bounce right off of you, drawing the devil swooping down, snatching away from you the good gift that God had given. Why does Jesus sow his word on you? Knowing that you won't keep his word if it means you have to suffer. You'll receive his word at first with joy, but then when keeping his word means putting away the divorce papers, forgiving the person who hurt you and never bringing it up again, when keeping his word means taking a financial hit, losing a relationship, telling your gossiping friend to her face, "I don't want to hear that." When keeping his word means suffering, we suddenly see there's not much root in the shallow, rocky soil of our hearts. So why does he still sow his word on you? Especially since he knows the cares of this world have already wrapped themselves around your neck. In fact, how many times have you drifted off just this sermon? More than you love and study his word, you love and study your hobbies, the next purchase for your house, the next vacation, your retirement, the deceitfulness of riches, of abundance, of worldly security that's actually a lie. All the while, good gifts are abused as food, drink, sex, knowledge, power, accomplishment, distinction. Before we even know it, they've wrapped their thorny limbs around our throats. Why does this sower still bother to cast his seed on you, to preach his word to you? Well, Pastor, I'm blushing a little. Isn't it obvious? It's because I'm the good soil. Well, actually, I'll grant that to you. In fact, I'll grant that everyone here is good soil, that all Christians are good soil, that the seed has found us and it is bearing much fruit. I'll grant that every person here is good soil, good dirt. In fact, if you put us all in bags, you'd have a bunch of perfectly good dirt bags. Good dirt. People whose lips move along with the confession of sins, but our hearts couldn't be further from God. People who like the talk about holiness and morality and good works as long as it's what other people need to do instead of what I should do. Good dirt. People who say all the right, Christ-centered things in public and in private do whatever self-centered things they want. Good dirt. Oh, our Lord has chosen his word so well. If being good soil, good dirt, is a boast to you, then that's fine, take it. Because in the end, good dirt is still just dirt. And dirt, soil, even the very best of it, can't bear a single fruit itself. In fact, by itself, the good soil is just as barren and fruitless as the path, the rocks, and the weeds. It's the seed that produces the fruit. It's the seed that matters most. And it's the seed that moves the sower's heart. This is what makes his way of sowing so strange to us. He doesn't think like we think. He doesn't care about where the seed lands or what chance it has to grow. He'll sow on pathway or rocks, weed or good soil. It matters not to him. What matters to him is the seed itself. Seed so precious, It simply must be sown. It simply must be scattered everywhere and abundantly. Why does the sower sow his seed on hearts as hard as asphalt, on rocky, burned over souls, on weeds thick with thorns, on good dirt? Why? Because he does not calculate the worthiness of the soil. He does not consider whether or not you are worthy to receive his word. Doesn't even enter his mind. He is not moved in the least by the worthiness of the soil. Instead, he is moved by the greatness of the seed. Seed so precious, it must simply go out to all. Seed so valuable that he is willing to purchase it himself, no matter the terrible cost. Because it is indeed costly seed that he is throwing, and no one knows that more than he. This seed that the sower throws is nothing less than the word of the kingdom, the word of a king who forgives his rebel sons, the word of a God and Father who forgives his children, all things, who calls them back home. This is the precious word that Christ purchased on his cross. All your lawless deeds are forgiven. All your sins are covered. Come home. Come back to your Father's arms. This is the word, the seed, the sower purchased, not by opening his wallet, but as scourge and nail opened his very flesh. This is the word, the seed that the sower bought, not by draining his bank account, but by the draining of his very soul into death. Behold the cross, the transaction, the purchase. Behold the sower paying the price for the precious seed of God's forgiveness. Seed that he now so freely, so recklessly sows on you. As his forgiveness, his holy absolution, falls onto your ears over and over again, each word, each seed has been purchased by nothing less than the sower's own precious blood. How valuable, how precious that seed. How valuable, how precious the Father's love and forgiveness for you. Why does the sower sow his word of forgiveness on hearts of concrete, on scorched souls, on foolish seedlings, on self-proclaimed good soil? Why does Christ keep showering this world with God's forgiveness? Why does the sower keep pelting you with his seed? Because it's not the worthiness of the soil that matters to him. He wants you, no matter what you are or what you've been, to receive the word of your Father's forgiveness, to receive this precious seed and have new life take root within you, to have joy as you've never had it before, true joy as his seed produces within you abundant fruit, more than you could have ever dreamed, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. I was wrong. This sower knows exactly what he's doing. This sower knows exactly how to sow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.